Oh, that's right. It must be Wednesday afternoon. That's right. It's 4:07 in the afternoon. I'm Ann Eller right here with you this afternoon. And today I have the executive director, Gray Stallworth of the YMCA. Is that right?
Yes. That's right.
How you doing today, Gray?
Very good.
Very good. Good to have you with us. And, God, you got your shirt with the new logo. What's this about a new logo here? I mean, what's going on?
Well, a couple years ago, the YMCA National Movement did a lot of study and really determined that while most people recognize the YMCA logo and the YMCA, they didn't understand what a cause-driven organization we are. And so the whole strategy has been around rebranding. And so it's not just the logo. It's a lot about the way we're doing business in terms of marketing, what we do, telling our story, being a better storyteller. And so the letters YMCA are still now a part of the logo.
Mm-hmm.
We've kept a number of things, traditional things in the logo itself. So it was just a way to kind of rebrand things. And during their study, they really figured out that most people just refer to us as the Y.
Yeah.
So we might as well say that's our nickname, and we just call ourselves the Y.
Absolutely. Now, we always know that the Y is a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
But how does it, and I know people, we have people that have memberships, and I know a lot of people probably think that memberships is what keeps the doors open and keeps it rolling. But from our conversation earlier, I understand that that's not exactly the way it works.
That's right. We have three forms of revenue. I mean, we do the membership fees, and then we have some program fees. Many of those are out in the community or various sites or carry that extra burden of those program supplies, et cetera. And so those have program fees with them. And then we raise dollars through charitable giving. And those dollars help provide a place, the why, and keep it accessible so that folks that cannot afford it and can demonstrate that need can have accessibility to the Y. So when we talk about accessibility, that third form of revenue is very important to us. We don't want to turn people away because they can't afford the fee or program fee. We want them to have the experience of the Y.
So how does that work? We have scholarship programs, or how does this actually work?
Yes, we do. We have what we call our Open Doors program. And let's say that I am a parent and I have lost my job and I'm trying to find something for my family to do and have some normalcy in our life. But I can't afford the membership rate at the Y. So I'm going to go into the counter and I'm going to ask for the application for Open Doors. And I'm going to fill that out. I'm going to demonstrate what my revenue is. And I'm going to turn that in. And then a small, a decision is made. And we apply a sliding fee scale. We're going to say to me, we will lower your rate. We'll reduce your rate by $30 if you can do the other $40.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I've got some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to live up to my end of the bargain. And the Y and its donors are going to take care of that other that's a real cost.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, I'm not upcharging like a for-profit business would. I'm not marketing that way. So when we lower a fee, we're losing on that. So we balance it out that way through our fundraising. So now I get to have accessibility to that Y, and for many it's something that they are wouldn't otherwise have. I might also just say I need care in the afternoons after school because maybe I'm working a job and it's just one income in a family and it's not a good paying job, but I got two children and I don't want them to be at home alone. And that's the only other alternative I have. So I get them in after school care and I get a little bit of help with those fees. You take child care fees over the course of a year,
it really adds up.
It does add up. So this is a real blessing to people that need that.
Now, the why is it, since it's here in our community, does it get any United Way help or any of our taxes or anything go to helping the Y?
We do solicit and we do get to ask for funding from a lot of different sources. We will go to local foundations. We'll go to United Way. Right now, the investment process is underway for their next year, and they have our application. They do underwrite a good portion of one of our programs. So we do depend on those kind of donations. We do not receive direct funding from the county government or state government.
From the federal government? It likes to give out money.
Don't have any federal money. Now, we are a partner with District 50 on an after-school 21st Century Learning Center, and that grant is a federal education grant. Okay. It comes through the local school district, and they partner with us, and they reimburse us for part of those expenses.
Sure.
Same thing, we apply for a federal grant through South Carolina. It's a USDA grant for healthy snacks.
Right.
So all of our after-school children are getting a healthy, and it's a fairly restrictive group of food that we can serve in the afternoons. So when they get, to the Y or to their site, they get a good healthy snack, they get some homework help, they get recreation help. So we are the recipient of some things in that way, but there's not a county line item that says, support the YMCA or anything like that.
Okay. All right. So when somebody has a member at the Y, that covers what they're doing, but when you go out for your giving program, you're really looking to raise more funds to be able to support and get more people to be able to be part of the Y.
Right. And we call our campaign, Partners with Youth, but we really do serve a lot of ages of people, both from families and even some seniors that are living on a very limited income. Their doctors say, look, you got to get some exercise, and they don't know what to do. So we do subsidize some of those memberships like I was describing before. Kids want to play ball. They don't like that everybody else in their classroom is playing some kind of ball, and they don't get to because mama and daddy don't earn enough money to do that. So we want them to have that opportunity. We feel like our programs are a real benefit to them. We concentrate more on some values, some traditional values, if you will, in teaching that by using the tool of a sport or swimming or whatever it may be to learn those lifelong values. And we think that's an important part of what we do, is teaching those values. Some children don't get that at home. I mean, our society is changing, and it's not mom and dad at home and, mom at home waiting for the children to get home from school. And so, we have to supplement a family, and sometimes we are a family. Sure. For some people.
All these things help. And, in today's world, I think, as we look back on the generation that's being raised right now, they need some help with these things.
They do. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, some children, the real high-risk children that we serve, for instance, we serve as a partner with the Greenwood Housing Authority, and we're serving about 70, 75 kids in those sites. There may not be anybody at home that's going to look over their shoulder to see that their homework is done.
Sure.
They may not, but because of the dysfunction, because of the high-risk factors, they're not going to get that. So our staff, they may be the only adults that are doing that.
Sure.
And some of those children are starving for attention. The only way we're going to beat that poverty cycle and break them out of that poverty cycle is to convince them that they can set their sights high.
Sure.
They can set their sights on something other than always living in poverty. They can't break that, but we've got to get to those children. We've got to get them educated.
Sure, and it has to begin at an early age.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't, we've lost the battle.
Absolutely.
So that's right. As they've just instigated the got to be able to read at a third grade level, I think that's going to make a big difference if they keep continually pushing to get the reading and comprehension.
Sure. Yes. Now, our summer program, we actually we switched from the after school and the tutoring to during the summer with our High Hopes program. We and high risk kids, we actually concentrate on literacy. So we partner with the Greenwood County Library. The bookmobile visits our site. The children get to choose books. They do some reading both to us and us to them. And then another day, they do some kind of project around that reading activity. And if they've been to both of those days and they've behaved, and they've,
they get ice cream,
they get to go to the Y on Friday.
Oh, okay.
And get in a little swim. Okay. So, we do. We have to reward them for things like that and give them some benefits and saying, look, you've been here, you've been good, behavior's been good, you haven't been a problem, you've been doing the work. Let's go have some fun.
We've got to have those type of things. You know, we all were raised with that, weren't we?
That's right. Sure.
That's
we
right.
Were. Sure.
You get an A, you do good. Something good might come your way.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's right.
Of course, my mother always told me it should be enough that you got the A.
That's right.
You don't remember that, do you, Greg?
I do.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Well, we are here with our executive director, Gray Stallworth, with the YMCA. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm in the back doing my interview today with Executive Director Gray Stallworth, and we were just talking, you know, it's been, what, 8.5 years since you came to the Y here, Gray? Gosh,
that's right.
Time
that's
flies,
right.
doesn't it?
Time flies when you're having fun.
But, you know, some of the things, what have you seen and what changes have come to the Y over the years that you've been here?
Well, I think of a couple of things. And, when I got here, we were struggling with some programs and some behavior problems. We had a number of issues that we needed to address pretty quickly. One of the things that we ended up doing one summer, actually for about two summers, was hiring an off-duty police officer to be there. The number of kids that were there in the afternoon without adult supervision, you know, and you can play ball for an hour and a half, but when you're there, when somebody dumps you there for and expects you to be there for 10 hours,
you're not going to play ball the whole time.
You can't, and that's when they get into mischief, and that's when things started happening. They'd start hanging out in the lobby. We tried to address that, and we came to the point where we had to have an officer, and his job was to not let them hang out somewhere. You know, if you're going to play ball, go play ball. If you're going to have a break, take a break, and then go back and play ball.
Sure.
If that's what you're going to do. And
That was six, seven years ago
And so, you know, as we began to say, we're going to hold you accountable for your behavior. You're responsible for your behavior. Kids were in the lobby without their shirts on all the time, the boys. Mm-hmm. We just said, look, if you're going to be in the lobby, put your shirts on.
Right.
Now, you know, I understand
that. Pull your pants up?
Yes, we did some of that. you know, in the gym,
right.
It's hot. I don't go to the point where I make them wear their shirts, the boys in the gym when they're playing ball. I understand that. But we said, when you come in the lobby, you're putting on your shirt.
Sure.
They used to bounce the balls. My office is right off the lobby. And every afternoon, it's kaboing, kaboing, kaboing with people bouncing balls in the lobby. No, stop. We got three gymnasiums for that. Go. So we really slowly but surely, I think we've taken care of a lot of those problems. We have a rule now where you have to be a certain age before you can be there without an adult. And I've got some staff members, if they think you're not old enough to be there, they're going to track you down and they're going to find out. They're going to say, where's your brother? Where's your mama?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now another problem we have right now is we'll have parents that will drop them off. We close at 10 o'clock on a weeknight.
Right.
And those kids will be there till 10:30 before somebody comes and gets them.
Wow.
We don't want to leave them there.
Sure.
We feel like that's a ethical decision on our part. We're not just going to leave them sitting out in front of a locked building and walk away. But at the same time, my staff, they've probably been there since 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They want to get home.
Sure.
There's a struggle there. We'll call the law and say, this child is abandoned. Okay? You need to come up here and get him.
Is that tough love?
It is a little tough love.
Yeah.
And so the officer says, you know, who's coming to get you? Well, mama's supposed to be here. Well, where is she? I talked to her 15 minutes ago. She says she's coming. Give me the phone. This is deputy. You need to be up here.
Right.
They closed 30 minutes ago. You need to be here. So, you know, that.
What are the kids learning out of all this? And the parents, where are they
learning? You know, they learn what they live. What's the old poem, children learn what they live?
I mean,
if they're seeing this kind of stuff, they're turning around there. That's how they treat others.
Sure.
So, I think we've addressed a lot of those things, and that's just one of the changes that I think we've done. We've increased our ball fields where we had just a blank piece of property there, and we really weren't doing anything. We've developed soccer on that piece, kind of out by the road.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Little League partnership came along, and they actually raised dollars to develop the Rotary ball field. So now our partnership includes a brand new ball field that's lighted, that we didn't have prior to that partnership.
Sure, it's a nice field.
A nice field. They do a great job of keeping it up, and they're very good. Their program ends or is winding down as mm-hmm. our baseball starts up. So once our season gets here, then they schedule what they have left around us. So it's a real good relationship, and they do a good job, and it's the baseball like that's competitive, and everybody, they just started their games I think this week, so they're out there, and so it's good. So I think there's been some good changes over the years. One thing that hasn't changed, Ann, is the Christian Mission YMCA. Here in this town, it's been a very high priority of this board, and so that has been a real emphasis from the board to me and from me to our staff. We want to let that run its course. We want that to be the basis. It's our heritage.
And what is the mission?
Well, the mission of the YMCA is to put Christian principles into practice through programs that build a healthy spirit, mind, and body for all. And so, part of that mission then is that we're charitable, because we're saying for all. We want everybody to feel welcome, and we don't want to turn away anybody. And so that goes back to our other discussion about our fundraising and making that accessibility. It's a business. We have expenses,
it's got to come from somewhere.
it's got to come from somewhere. I mean, we have a lot of volunteers as well and staff. So we're an important part of the community.
Now, how many people do you serve? You were telling me 2012. How many people did
you serve? Well, in 2012, we served over 15,000 different people through various programs and events and activities. In a town of 70,000, that's serving a good portion of the community.
Do you want to serve any more, or are you done? 15,000, is that enough?
Well, I mean, we can always serve more, and I think we do. I mean, I think as we do a better job with our programs and our mission programs, and better job, more efficient, we can serve more people. We want more mission out the door.
Sure.
I mean, we want to do that.
Yes. So. I think the Y does do a terrific job, and I think the Christian principles are a very important part, because I see that our society and our schools and everything else, we're just getting further and further away
mm-hmm.
from that.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
The golden rule.
Right.
Treat somebody
right.
like you'd like to be treated. We
right.
need more
right.
of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
sure.
That was a little shortened version of the golden rule for
there
those that are listening. But anywho, that
That's
is
right.
something that is important.
Sure.
Now, you've got coming up after we hear the news, we're going to be talking about some of the camps out there. You've got a lot of camps. You've got a spring camp coming up, Fuji mm-hmm. Film Photo Camp. Will be the week of spring break.
Right.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to be talking about a lot of the camps coming up. And we're going to be talking about, I hope, how you work with Walmart to support the food bank. So there's a lot of good issues to talk about here. If you've got a question, please don't hesitate to pick up the phone and give us a call. Gray would love to have that opportunity to answer a question. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Make sure you give him a call. So that's what we're going to talk about. There's a lot to the Y, and of course, they have, coming up in the spring will be the big event for the American Red Cross. Huge event.
Cancer Society, the
right.
Relay for Life.
Life.
Yes, Relay for Life is Mother's Day weekend. This is the 10th year at the Y. And so it's going to be a big celebration. And the Cancer Society is doing a great job of planning that event, and it's coming up real soon.
Absolutely. It's huge, and it amazes me how many people you can put on the fields and around the Y. That, you talk about packing them in, that event packs them in.
Sure does.
So that's terrific. So I certainly hope you're going to stay right with us right here on WCRS. You know who I am, Ann Eller. Just of note, we have had a schedule change. We are not going to hear from Jeff Duncan today. I am going to have an interview with him tomorrow. So for those of you that were looking forward to hearing Congressman Jeff Duncan at 5:05, it got moved to 5:30, but he's voting, so we're going to interview him tomorrow. You'll be able to hear all about it right here on WCRS. Hey, it's time for the news. We'll be back.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest today, Executive Director Gray Stallworth, and we are having a good time talking about what goes on at the Y and lots of good events. One of the things that I didn't realize, I was looking at all the things that y'all are involved in, and it says the food bank. So I thought, do you have your own food bank? And what did you told me no. What you do?
No, you know, I guess I would say that we're a part of the food bank's muscle. It started many years ago. They had volunteers that were actually picking up donated food from one of our local retailers. And that became a real burden. It was very difficult, very heavy. There's a lot of food. Mm-hmm. So we started helping with that delivery with our vehicles, and just because we had the vehicles. And
sure.
So now it's gotten to where we actually have a box truck that's been donated to us, and 2 days a week it goes to one of our local retailers, picks up a load of food, mm-hmm. and supplies, and we take that to the food bank and we unload it. And gosh, we're talking tons of food throughout the year. So
we get a workout and a workout
and you know, we'd love to have, I mean, you know, that's right now, that staff that are doing that, we'd love to have them. I mean, we go to set time. I mean,
right.
You know, they expect us Monday and Thursday at 1:30. So if somebody had an hour and a half that they could volunteer one of those afternoons between 1:30 and 2:30, and it takes about an hour and a half to get over there, get it all loaded once, and get it unloaded, and get back to the Y. We'd love to have some volunteers do that.
Well, we'll put the call out there now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, we just need the muscle and you know, to help with that. It's a great service, and the food bank serves a wonderful need in our community.
Absolutely, they do. So that was one of the programs. You have so many wonderful programs over there. I think the biggest thing that we should all come away from this is knowing that if you have a need, if you would like to have your family, your children, whatever involved at the Y, you don't think you can afford it, maybe you ought to go talk to them.
Absolutely. It's a very simple process. We've simplified things. It's an easy application. We're going to ask you to demonstrate your need. I mean, we're not just going to hand something out, and we're going to make an agreement with you to you know, keep up your end of the bargain. And we're going to teach some responsibility there.
Sure.
One of our core values is responsibility, honesty, caring, and respect. And so that's where that responsibility is going to come in. If you're going to have skin in the game, and if you're not living up to that, whether it's a membership or a program, we're going to come to you and say, look, you've got to get caught up with your part, or we're going to cut that service off. So,
sure.
You know, it's a hand up and a helping hand.
Sure.
And not just a handout.
Sure. And, of course, I think the after-school programs have such a – do y'all pick up from the schools?
We do. You know, we pick up at 9 elementary schools and all 3 middle schools. We have sites that handle those. Then we have partnership with District 50, where we're at two schools after school for the 21st Century Learning Center.
What's the 21st Century Learning Center?
That's a federally funded program. Mm-hmm. They have several teachers that stay after school.
Because they've been bad?
No. These are staying because they want to be good.
Okay.
And they want to help some of these children. The children in the program acts have been referred by the classroom teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting extra help. They're getting a small group for tutoring. They're getting some time in the media center to work on some of their work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get homework, just doing their actual homework. After that period and rotation, they go to each of those stations, if you will. And after that, they have a snack and then in recreation. And so we're there in those schools. They serve 60 kids at each of those schools.
Wow.
And so that's a great after-school program for those. And then we have those four sites we referred to earlier, the High Hopes after-school. So all together, we've probably got 300-plus children in our care every day between 3:30 and 6 o'clock.
Wow, that's terrific.
And we see that as a need and wide shoulders and a tremendous responsibility, and one we take real seriously.
Sure. I mean, after all, childcare is so important, and being able to put them in an environment where they're not just, what shall we say, running wild.
Right. I mean, you know, it's planned, it's safe. You know, there's structure to that. Good role models. We have some great young people. The kids just love them to death. And so we really do accomplish a lot during those times, and critical after school hours.
Absolutely.
You know, if you look up after school and those hours and look at the studies, a lot of stuff needs to be happening there that didn't. So we're trying to be part of that.
Now, I also understand you partner with Scouts.
Yes, you know, we are a charter organization for Troop 66, Boy Scouts. We also, I'm real proud of this because I happen to be a dad of a young Eagle Scout, but to earn the rank of Eagle, you have to do a community service project. And over the years, we've had numerous Scouts between Life and Eagle do their service project at the Y. And so this past fall, we actually had two service projects completed. One young man from Troop 313 did a nice stage down in our day camp area. So when we have our campfire every Friday,
right?
I mean, remember, we're a camp.
We have a campfire.
We're going to have a campfire. What's camp without a campfire?
Exactly.
So we're going to have skits and songs and all this kind of thing. So now, courtesy of this scout and his friends that built this, we have a nice stage. So that's kind of a nice improvement. And I'm proud of my son. Asa is a new Eagle Scout, and during the fall, he did a nice entryway into the camp area, built a nice gateway with a nice fence. It kind of delineates going from the ball field area into the camp area, makes a nice entrance. And he and a number of boys did the construction of that and got that up. So, and we have another that's actually going to be completed before camp this summer. I'm going to do a fence around a dangerous retention pond area,
mm-hmm.
and this will be more of a permanent fence that'll really, really divide that area of the danger with the retention pond from where the children are actually doing one of their activities, their outdoor living skills area. So we're real proud of the Scouts and what we do in January, and we had 45 boys and what they call Merit Badge University,
mm-hmm.
Come and earn one of three merit badges. They all happen to be Eagle-required merit badges, so
wow.
They're popular. But we in fact, Congressman Duncan
right?
came when we were doing the Citizenship in the Nation merit badge, and the instructor, Chip Stockman,
right.
said, what better way to learn a little bit about citizenship in the nation than to invite our local congressman? So Jeff Duncan came that morning. We were real glad to see him and had a great conversation with the boys, and they talked about gun control and a couple other things. So I think he enjoyed it as well. So that's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the Boy Scouts, they do so much, and it is great to see that it is still a viable organization in today's world.
That's right, it is. And I know my son in particular, he carries on a conversation with adults, and I think a very real way. And you know, he just turned 15, and lots of times at that age, the kind of conversation you might get from a teenager is yes and no and maybe and yeah and nah.
And maybe they'd be looking at their Game Boy or at their phone and not really talking to you.
Right. And I think he's learned that skill of being able to carry on that conversation, and I'm real proud of him for having achieved that at this young age.
Sure. Those are life skills.
Absolutely.
They'll be something that he'll be able to use forever.
Sure.
Well, maybe we should talk, since we're already talking about summer and camp and everything, and we'll come back and talk about the Fujifilm Photo Camp. But summer camp, now, we were talking about there's lots of options out there to go to camp, but your camp is really outside.
It is. You know, I mean, we're blessed with a lot of land, a lot of acres at the Y, and a lot of people may not realize it, but down back behind our ball fields, between us and Cambridge Academy, is a nice wooded area. And we have a 50-foot tall alpine tower down there. We have a low challenge course that is just a little bit off the ground. It's a really nice piece. We have games. We have tables. But that's kind of headquarters for day camp. Mm-hmm. And so this is camp. I mean, they come in. The boys, even the girls too, they like it. But they build their little forts. They get pine straw and limbs and sticks.
Wait a minute, they play outside?
They play outside. And they build these forts, and they go in and they sit down in there and they talk and they chat.
I didn't think kids did that anymore.
They do. They do. Come to camp on a Friday and see our campfire. We build a fire. We do it up. We sing songs. We do skits.
Old-fashioned camp.
And you go home at night. And believe me, if you're a mom out there and you pick up your child after camp, you're going to have a tough time keeping them awake for supper, because we're going to wear them out. They're going to be tired. They're going to be active all day, and they're just going to have a great action-packed day at camp. And outdoor living skills. We do some shooting sports like archery. They get a chance to really test their comfort zone and climb on the Alpine Tower, the giant swing. Those are some life skills in terms of stepping out of my comfort zone.
Now, what age is this for? What age group is this?
We actually do ages 5 up to 12. The 13 to 15-year-olds can go into our leaders in training program, our LITs. We actually have a week of adventure camp for the teenagers, so they can kind of get to know each other, and then they go into the leadership and training program and start learning some leadership skills, and we give them
right
a chance
here in
to
Greenwood.
Apply.
Yeah,
we give
right
them a chance
Greenwood.
To apply those skills with the day camp groups. So there's theory and there's the practical. That we try to do. So,
and nobody's on the phone or playing with their iPads or
no. If they bring them, they'll grow legs. I mean, because you don't remember to pick it up and put it in your pocket. You leave it sitting there, and you walk away, and it's grown legs. I mean, I hate to say it, but you have, so don't bring that stuff. I mean, okay. You don't need that stuff. But it's an action-packed. Now we have heat index days when it's
too hot to be out there.
So we get in, or if we can't get in for whatever reason, we're going to be cooling off with some water games and water day, and they get out the hose and the slide. I mean, that's what I did.
Sure.
When it got hot, I didn't go inside. I was told to stay outside. Tough.
You're not coming in.
So we went out the water hose. I don't have to have a water. I don't have to have a beach or a lake. I went and got the hose, and we'd spray.
Just good old basic fun.
It is. I can remember a few years ago, and me and another guy, we decided we're gonna have a little fun with the kids, and we went and found the water guns.
Right.
And so we got on a golf cart with plenty of water, and we just ambushed the kids, and we came around in here with the Y executives, and we're firing on the kids with water guns. They were loving it. It was a hot day, and we just had a blast. And so they enjoy that kind of thing.
They do. And I think sometimes we forget that kids actually enjoy that if they ever get out and do that.
Right. They do. And we do arts and crafts during the summer, traditional kind of things. And we do some swimming. We have some fun field trips. We have guests that come in. Last year, the popular guy was and I can't remember his name, I'm so sorry, but a reptile guy, and he brings his reptile show.
Sure.
And I mean, the kids, they're got a boa constrictor, and they're touching them, and some of them are so afraid, and they're just like, I don't want to touch. But they would touch the snake, you know,
right.
And they'd see all these different kind of animals that were reptiles, and it was a big hit. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
So I presume you already have your camps pretty well set up for this year?
Camps are ready to go. We've already started registration. Our camp starts the first Monday out of school, and we go to the Friday before you go back to school.
Well, so that's a lot of camp.
It's a lot of camp. And we want to be, you know, that provider that can take care of a child all year round. So when school is out, we're in. I mean, you know, in service days,
sure,
we're there. You know, spring break camp, during Christmas time, we have a camp. So, you know, we want to provide that. In the nation, the YMCA is the largest child care provider in the country.
I didn't know that. Largest
child care provider. Now, a lot of wise, we don't have it here, but a lot of wise in big metropolitan cities run the child care, the daycare programs.
Sure.
But then we're in so many schools and in share buildings with schools and in all these school systems with after school care that we've just got thousands of children in our care across the country. So
wow.
We're the largest provider of child care in the country.
Wow, that is terrific. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk. But now, if somebody wants to get in touch and say, I need to find out more information, what's the best way to find out more information about the summer camp? When we come back, we're going to talk about the photo camp coming up in a couple of weeks.
Well, the easiest way is to look at our website. We do keep a good bit of information there. That is greenwoodymca.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find a summer day camp tab on the front page, on the home page, and you can do that, and you'll find a packet of information there. You'll find dates. You'll find themes for each week. A lot of the information that mom needs to know or dad needs to know right off the bat.
Sure.
To figure out if they're interested.
Okay. And do you do scholarships for the camps?
Yes, we do. We do.
Okay.
And we'll have, I mean, almost 25, maybe even 30% of camp will be receiving some financial assistance.
Wow.
So we serve a good many people, and those slots get gone pretty quick.
You have limits too.
We have a limit, and we limit that, and that's based on our funding. I mean, we will raise $94,000 this year. If I was raising $140,000 in a year,
right,
I would have that many more slots available. I'd have that many more programs. I would be teaching more people to swim, et cetera, et cetera. So,
it's all a direct base on how much money you can raise.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
So it's whether it's a for-profit or non-profit, all comes down to dollars. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I am here with Grace Stallworth. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. If you've got a question, don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of
me. This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. We are with Grace Stallworth. We are talking about camps. We're talking about getting dirty. You were just telling me that even last year you planted a garden.
Yes, we did. We had a wonderful volunteer, Ann Barclow, from Master Gardeners. She helped us a tremendous amount. So we planted 8 raised bed garden boxes, and we had tomatoes and peppers and zucchini and okra and all kind of great things. And so the kids got out there, they planted it, they harvested over the summer.
Did they get to eat it?
They did get to eat it. Some of them had never eaten something like that right off the vine. And so it was really interesting to see. And we gave away, I mean, the tomatoes. We had a big crop of tomatoes, so we would put them out in the lobby and just let people take them and enjoy that the kids had grown. So we're looking forward to planting this year's garden will go into ground here in a couple of weeks at the end of April. And the kids will get to harvest that during the summertime.
And they'll plant it too, right?
Yes, they'll plant it as well.
Sure That's will. Tremendous. So. I like child labor.
We like to refer to it as responsibility. Learning a little responsibility.
Okay, right. I like That's it, Gray. Right. All right. Fuji Film Photo Camp used to be early summer. You've had to change that, or you have changed it.
Yes, we've changed it to spring break. One of the neat features of the camp is that they're going to enter their favorite pieces into the South Carolina Festival of Flowers photo contest. Mm-hmm. And there's a youth division in that contest.
Sure.
So one of our kids in camp is going to be a winner with the photos that they generate during camp. So we're moving it to spring break, which is the first full week in April 1 to 5. And Fuji is a wonderful partner. They provide the instructor, the equipment, just wonderful partners with us. And we appreciate Lisa, Emily, and the folks at Fuji so much for partnering with us and doing that. And we're really looking forward to that. We take about 15 kids. And this year, they're really going to zero in on digital photography and have some really good fun with that.
Well, that sounds excellent. Now, this is for the age group 7 to 12.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you said April 1st to the 5th. And now, they're there at camp, what, from 7 o'clock in the morning to 6?
Well, you know, the camp itself is going to be 9 to 4.
Okay.
But we open at 7 for them to arrive in the morning because we have parents that got to get to work early and,
sure.
and parents that will pick up late. So we extend those times. We don't charge extra for that. It's just included. So we say 7 to 6. Well, you know, that's the extended day. You know, it's about a 9 to 4 kind of a structured piece of that camp and that specialty. And that's true with all of our summer programs as well, is that 9 to 4 is the meat of camp. And so some parents pick them up early. Some parents get there at 4 and,
right.
and 4:15. So, you know, that meat of that program is held during those hours.
Now, I also understand that you're actually going to take some field trips.
Yes, they'll do some field trips that week so that they can get some good locations for some
Looks like they're going to Emerald Farms and then maybe to Falls Park in Greenville.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we do some exciting things. It's a fun week. And to have a professional photographer with you and helping you and critiquing your work and giving you pointers.
Doesn't get any better than
That's just great. And that's just that's a super partnership. We appreciate Fuji and what they do for us.
And by doing it that early, you will be able to get the photos
right.
into
right.
the Festival of Flowers.
Right. We won't be near as hurried. It just got to be a very, very hurried time. And we really didn't have the time to get it done right. So this will give us a little bit more time to get those entries made.
Now, I do understand you still have some space available.
Yes, we do. And folks can call the Y and get the details. On the homepage of the website, you'll find some of those details as well.
Okay. And the number to call at the Y?
Is 223-9622.
Okay, 223-9622. Make sure you sign up today. I tell you what, if I was a kid between 7 and 12, I would have loved been able to do that.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Gray, it certainly has been a pleasure talking to you again.
Absolutely.
It's been a while, and
That's
I certainly
right.
appreciate you coming out this afternoon.
Absolutely. We had fun and always enjoy talking about something I love so much.
Absolutely. That's great. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'm Ann Eller. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.